Anybody making New Year's resolutions this year? Have we given up on that completely yet? Have we totally given up on the idea of New Year's resolutions? I'll tell you, New Year is a good chance, though, even if you're not making resolutions, it's a great chance to pause and reflect a little bit on the year gone by and think a little bit about the year that's coming. And so this last week, I did take some time to do a little exercise that I had received actually from a good friend and sent me a little thing called Reflect and Reset, to be able to look back at 2015 and consider even month by month what happened and what was going on in my life, what God was doing in my life, things that were important month by month, and then also to be able to look ahead to the new year that's coming. And hey, buddy, can I get my... I don't have any slides coming up. Okay, we'll try and get this in a minute here for us. So anyways, I took some time, and as I looked over the year, for me it really broke down into two distinct seasons. There was the part of the year, at the start of the year, which was very much focused upon great family time together. And we had a wonderful family holiday at spring break last year during February, and then we had another great family holiday with Tara's whole family in the summertime, which was just wonderful. And, you know, from there, that was the first part of the year. And that was really the focus and the thing I could really reflect on as being wonderful, at least personally, from that first part of the year. The second part of the year for us really got defined by an event that happened immediately upon returning from our family holiday in the summertime. As soon as we got back, we were actually on our way from Vancouver, starting to head back to Prince George. We were in Chilliwack with my parents, just waiting to make the shorter drive than from Vancouver. And we got a phone call that Tara's dad had gone into the hospital. And he had gotten in with just jaundice. And so we weren't sure exactly at that time what was going on. We drove back into Vancouver just to see him in the hospital. And from there, it moved from jaundice to a blocked bile duct to a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. And so from that point on, much of the remainder of 2015 was defined by a whole different kind of focus on family and making decisions around finances, making decisions around travel that really do revolve primarily around time with her family. And it's been an amazing year, but there's a lot that we've experienced just over these last couple months as we've thought about his illness and what that means for our family and what it means for him and what it means for God's plan in our life. Now, for you too, I wonder if in some way in this past year you have been touched by sickness or brokenness, whether in your own life, whether in someone in your family's, whether they're in their life, whether in some other way you have been touched by illness or brokenness. Now, it's a really hard journey to walk. It's not fun. It's not easy. And, you know, we've been talking about with different people about people who have lost through prolonged illness or people who have lost through sudden tragedy. And I don't know that either one is any easier than the other. I think they're both hard in their own way. They're different, but they're both extremely difficult. But here's the great thing. As followers of Jesus, even in the midst of sickness and a diagnosis of potentially a terminal illness, we have such incredible reason for hope. We have such incredible reason to have hope that there is something so much better than what we are walking through and experiencing and knowing in life right now. We have incredible hope that we can enjoy. Now, when Dave Hearn was here with us, in October, he was here for our 50th anniversary, and he shared with us a great message about just the power of the Holy Spirit as a part of who we are as followers of Jesus. And Dave shared with us a great quote from A.B. Simpson. He said, "The Alliance stands preeminently for a belief in supernatural things and a supernatural God." I want you to let that sink in for a second. The Alliance stands preeminently for a belief in supernatural things and a supernatural God. We do not just gather together with some nice principles and some nice teaching so that we can make one another's life better through some kind of just relationships and things like that. It's all part of the body of Christ, but that's not really what we stand for. We believe in a God who does beyond what we are capable of doing. He does things far beyond what science can accomplish for us in this life. He does far beyond what we could ever expect or imagine to happen. That is who our God is. He is a supernatural God. He is outside the bounds of what is restricted by nature, right? He is bigger than that because he created it. So we believe in a supernatural God, and we believe he does supernatural things. So we have reason for hope. Because we see that Jesus, as we talked about, he is our Savior. We talked about that on December 27th. He is our Savior. There were stories of how Jesus has been people's Savior within our church, shared on that day. Last week, we talked about how Jesus is our sanctifier. He is the one who roots out the sin in our life and brings in its place holiness. He's the one who roots out brokenness and brings wholeness. He is the one who does that work in us. And today, we're talking about the fact that Jesus is our healer. He is our Savior, he is our sanctifier, and he is truly our healer. Jesus does a healing work in us when we call upon him. And that's what we're going to be focused on today, is this work of Jesus as our healer. And we're going to spend a little bit of time studying what that means from Scripture. We're going to spend a little bit of time on how it is that we actually do that, and we're going to push ourselves in considering our trust in God for this gift that he has for us. But let's take a moment and pray first and invite him to speak to us today. And so, Jesus, we just call upon you today. We want to acknowledge that you are our healer, that you do supernatural things. And Lord, we just pray that we would experience your touch and your voice even in this service this morning. As we listen for you, as we anticipate you, would you meet us in our deepest need today? Pray, Lord, that we would hear your voice above mine. That we would hear the words spoken to our heart that we need today. So we look forward to all that you're going to do as we take time in your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's talk a little bit about this idea of Jesus as our healer, and where does it come from? What we got to realize is that when Jesus came to earth, he came with a specific mission. He came with a purpose. He came, as he said, to proclaim the kingdom of God. And we want to talk a little bit about what that means in terms of what Jesus said it means. So we're going to start by reading just a brief text where Jesus is going about proclaiming the good news. So Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria. Yeah, no kidding. And people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Jesus came proclaiming the message of the kingdom of God. The kingdom has come near. What is the kingdom of God about? Well, the kingdom of God coming near is that the fact that the reign of God, God as king, has come among us. That his territory over which he has authority has come here where we are. The reign of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. And Jesus came proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near. It is right here among you. The reign of God, his power and authority over the things in our lives is right here. And so he came to proclaim that kingdom message. And he did it not just as a message, but along with the proof that God's kingdom was actually here. He proclaimed that the kingdom is here, but he also showed it by the healing of people who were sick. Sick in all kinds of ways. So when we talk about Jesus being our healer, this is the message he came to proclaim. In Jesus' own words, he actually came to proclaim freedom for captives and prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he said when he read those words from Isaiah to the people who were listening, today these words have been fulfilled in your hearing. Because he was there. He's reading the words. He is the one who's actually going to bring this about. So Jesus is our healer, and we know it because of what Jesus said about his own work and how he demonstrated the message of God. But we also see Jesus as our healer when we think about this, not just from what he said, but by what he did on the cross for us. And in Isaiah, there's a prophecy about the one who God would send to make all things right and what he would do. There's all sorts of things written about the Messiah, the sent one. That's what Messiah means. And we want to read a couple of those verses. This is from Isaiah 53. It says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." He took our pain. He bore our suffering. By his wounds we are healed. This is beyond just our spiritual pain, our spiritual suffering, our spiritual need. This goes into our physical, our emotional, all of who we are as a person. Jesus took upon him on the cross all of our brokenness. And by his wounds, all of that can be healed. And ultimately will be healed. So in the work that Jesus did for us on the cross, it's another sign that Jesus is our healer. This is what he came to do. But it goes beyond that. See, Jesus, when he was on earth, he didn't just walk alone going to proclaim this message about the kingdom. He had a bunch of followers who were following after him and learning from him, and he sent them out. And here's what it says about what happened with them. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Proclamation of the kingdom of God came alongside and accompanied by signs and wonders, the healing of the sick. He gave his disciples authority. Jesus, incidentally, if you want the whole idea of authority, Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, just before he went, in that famous passage that we read in Matthew all the time, when it says, you know, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, etc., etc., that passage, just before that, you know what he says? "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority on heaven and earth resides in Jesus. And here, he gives that authority to his followers to go out and proclaim the message, to cast out demons, and to heal the sick. We, as followers of Jesus, have a derivative authority from Jesus that we're called to proclaim the message and pray for healing. Signs accompany the message of the kingdom of God. Jesus is our healer. All authority is in him. He has the authority over our bodies. He is our healer. Okay, one last thing I'm going to say about this. This happened with his followers that he was right with, but it also carried on into the early church. If you want to kind of see if there's a continuation to this, if it was just one of those one-off things, it wasn't. In the life of the early church, they were facing persecution by the people around them who didn't really like the message they were proclaiming. They didn't like a lot about them. And so they, you know, were getting thrown in prison. And upon release, here's what they prayed for. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." Healing comes through Jesus. He is our healer. The church prayed, "God, give us boldness in the face of persecution, in the face of people really not liking us very much. Don't make us safe. Don't make us safe. Give us boldness. And stretch out your hand so that you will show them through signs and wonders, through healing, that this word is true." So if we want to talk about our theology, our understanding of what healing is about, and Jesus being our healer, we need to understand this is a part of the kingdom message. This is a part of what Jesus was about. This is a part of the work he accomplished on the cross. This is a part of the responsibility he gave to us as his church. This is all a part of the kingdom of God has come near to you. So, you may ask the question then, well, how do we actually receive it? Because there still seems like there's a lot of sick people. I'm fighting a cold today. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? What do we do with all that? How do we actually receive healing from Jesus? Well, very simply, I think, you know, the primary starting point is to ask. We can just ask on our own. Paul, who was one of the followers of Jesus who came a little bit later on, he prayed for his own healing. There was a physical issue he had, and he prayed and prayed and prayed that God would take that away from him. He prayed for his own healing. We can have others pray for us. We can ask friends and family to pray for us, to ask God that they would that he would heal them. We're going to talk about a particular model for healing that we're told about in Scripture in the book of James, where we call for the elders to come and anoint us with oil and pray for us that we'd be healed. There's all sorts of different ways we can ask. But here's the point. The point is that it's not so much about our form of prayer as it is about who we're praying to. And I don't want to, I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus with this, but just a thought I had a while back when I was, you know, kind of on Facebook and just some comments were being made because someone was asking for prayer in the midst of sickness. And, you know, there was comments about the power of prayer. And my thought was, it's not the power of prayer. It's the power of Jesus Christ who we access and talk to through prayer where healing power comes. Prayer is great, but prayer to something other than our supernatural God who can do supernatural things is really meaningless. So we can ask, and in the asking, we ask the one who actually has power to heal. Prayer in itself, it's a nice exercise, might make us feel good, meditative, kind of peaceful, calming. But if that prayer is not connected to the one who has the power to heal, it really isn't going to be all that meaningful. In some ways, it would be nice if our prayers and our prayers for healing, they weren't, you know, so fancy and eloquent that people thought that was the reason there's healing. But what would rather be so simple, people would just look at it and go, that's it? That's it? Because it's not about how fancy or how long or how incredible the prayer is. It's about who we're talking to when we pray. Great quote again that that Dave gave us from A.B. Simpson when he was here in October. I just want to share this one too. The message we have is a message steeped in the Holy Spirit, a message that leads men and women to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit without exaggeration, without fanaticism, without unscripturalness of any kind. All the power can be, and yet with the spirit of a sound mind. This doesn't have to look flaky and crazy. This can just be a simple part of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we have to be knocking people over and doing all sorts of things that are really showy. It can be a simple trust in the healing power of Jesus. All right. So, we've talked a little bit about our theology, where it comes from, the belief that Jesus is our healer. We've talked a little bit about how we can access that, but I want to focus in on this particular model of healing that comes to us from the book of James. And this is what James actually has to say about it. And we'll just stop on this, we'll camp on this part of it for now, and we'll get to the rest later. Is anyone among you sick? Is anyone among you sick within the body of Christ? Are you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Just pause there for a moment. Call the elders of the church to anoint you with oil and to pray for you. Now, one of the things I think I'd like to mention here is that this goes beyond just our physical healing to other areas of healing that we need. And the reason I would say that is because of what he says. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. There's more that goes on here than just the physical healing of the body. We could talk about spiritual healing. I think we can also talk about emotional and mental healing that can come as we call the elders to anoint us and pray for us. So this is a way that God lays out for us to access prayer for healing, is to call the elders of the church to come and anoint us with oil and to pray. Oil symbolizing just that healing power of the Holy Spirit coming into us. But what about this whole idea of the prayer offered in faith? Because you might say, well, what if I'm not healed? what if I come to the elders and they pray for me and I'm not healed? I don't actually receive healing for whatever particular thing I've asked for prayer for. Now, because it says the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, does that mean we didn't pray right? Does that mean I don't have enough faith? Does that mean I didn't work up enough faith? Okay, I believe. Makes me think of the scene from Miracle on 34th Street. If you guys watch that over Christmas holidays, the little girl's like, I believe. I know it's silly, but I believe. Like, is that what working up enough faith? Is that the prayer offered in faith? I think if we want to get a clear idea of what this prayer offered in faith is about, we need to look at the next section that comes right after this, that carries on in James 5. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Why does Elijah show up here? I mean, I love the fact that he says he was a human being even as we are. He's just a regular guy. And if you read the story of Elijah back in the book of 1 Kings, oh my goodness, did he ever have his ups and downs. From the heights of seeing God totally at work, powerfully doing things at his prayer and his command, to running away and asking God to kill him because he was afraid. And yes, the running away and asking God to kill him came almost immediately after the incredible scene of power. So why Elijah's there? Because he's a person just like you and I are. That's part of the reason. But one of the interesting things that, if you read the story, actually, that talks about when he prayed that it would not rain, and it didn't rain, and then again he prayed and the heavens gave rain, that happened after a big show of God's power. And then Elijah started to pray for rain. That rain would fall on the land. And he prayed. And he sent out his servant to go look to see if God was sending the rain. And the servant came back after looking out at the sea, and he said, there's no rain. So Elijah continued to pray, and he sent his servant out again. And the servant came back and said, there's no rain. So Elijah continued to pray, and he sent out his servant a third time. And the servant came back and said, there's still no rain. So Elijah continued to pray. You getting the point yet? And he sent his servant out a fourth time, and a fifth time, and a sixth time, and there was no rain. But he sent him out a seventh. And the servant came back and said, there's a little cloud that's starting to form over the sea. And Elijah said, now's the time to start to run, because the rain is coming. And the deluge hit. Now, why is that important? Elijah was a man just like you and I are. He's a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't for 3.5 years. And then he prayed that it would rain, and the rains came. But do you notice that he didn't stop praying until it rained? There's a story Jesus told of a widow who was being treated unjustly by a judge in her town. And this woman kept going back to him with her plea, and he continued just to ignore her and ignore her and ignore her and ignore her. And she kept persisting over and over and over. And finally the guy said, listen, if it will finally get this woman out of my hair, fine, have your way, right? And Jesus says, listen, if the unjust judge will do that for this woman, how much more will your heavenly Father listen when you call it to him? She persisted over and over. Elijah persisted over and over and over. How often do we not see the rain because we stop because there was no rain? We're told to call the elders of the church to come and anoint us with oil and to pray for us that we would be made well. And the prayer offered in faith will make a person well. But how often do we not see the blessing of God because we stop before he gives the blessing? Now, I can tell you this. It takes guts and a lot of humility to come and ask the elders to pray for you for healing. That is not an easy thing to do, to lay down pride and to say, okay, you know, maybe I'm not okay and I actually do need prayer for this. And to come and receive prayer for healing, or perhaps have the elders over to your place and, you know, share your story, what's going on, and have them pray. It's a very vulnerable space. But it takes a whole lot of faith to ask them to come again. And to ask them to come again. And to ask them to come again. And to come again. And to come again. And to come again. That takes faith. A few years ago at Assembly, Steve Kerr, who was at the time the chair of our board of directors in the Alliance, was sharing a message on healing. And I love one of the things he said. He said, "Don't take no for an answer until the answer is no." Don't take no for an answer from God about bringing healing to your life until the answer is actually no. Or maybe another way of saying it would be, don't say God's no for him. Right? Don't say God's no before he actually even has a chance to say no. Steve tells a story, actually. He told a story at Assembly. I wasn't going to share this, but I'll share it. Of a time when there was a woman in his church who came up for prayer. And so he and the elders prayed for her. Nothing happened. And he thought, okay, well, it's just one of those times that God's not going to heal. And, you know, gave some platitudes about that and whatever and sent her on her way. This woman went to a group of people who were meeting. They had gone to his church previously and had left the church and were doing a prayer and healing ministry. And this woman went to that prayer and healing ministry and God healed her body there. And as Steve tells the story, he was really mad at God about that. So you won't answer the prayer of our elders in our church when she does what says in Scripture to do, but the people who have left our church and gone off and done something else, that's where she's going to get healing? And what he felt God saying to him was, you stopped praying right when I was about to heal her. Why did you stop? And it's not to say that we're going to just stay sitting here and keep praying until God actually does something. But why is it that we will not come back and come back and come back and come back until he actually gives us a definitive no? Don't say God's no for him. As I shared at the start of the message, this is a particularly personal message to me right now because of what we're walking through with Tara's dad. And one of the challenges has been along the way that at every step of his health journey over the last several months, we have spent time praying. And praying, and praying, praying over him, praying with oil with him, having the elders of his church come and pray for him, praying together as family with him, just over and over, praying with him. And it's almost like every time we pray, things seem to get worse. And that's a hard space to continue to come back and pray with faith, trusting that God can still do something. When over and over the answer seems like no, 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 no. But we have not heard a definitive no. We have not heard a definitive stop asking. So we continue. We continue to go back. Continue to go back to the throne of grace, knowing that we worship a God, a supernatural God who does supernatural things, and trusting that until he says no, we can continue to ask and trust that he will bring healing in his life, and that he has a story yet to tell through his life. Don't take no for an answer until the answer is definitively no. Don't give up hope in our God who is our healer. Come back again and again and again. Be persistent, believing that God will do something that you need. Why is it that we still struggle with sickness? Well, sometimes it may be because we give up too soon. We also deal, though, with the fact that we live in a world where the kingdom of God is already here, but not yet fully realized. Jesus came to proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God into the world, and the reign of God is spreading in our world, but it is not yet fully realized in our world. And it will not be until Christ returns. And at that point, things are going to change dramatically. But until then, we will still struggle. We will still suffer. There will still be pain in our world. It's interesting, actually, if you read through this text in James 5, immediately before this part about if any among you is sick, call for the elders. Just prior to that, a few verses back, it talks about being patient and enduring in suffering. Suffering is still a part of what we experience here, even as followers of Jesus. But we do have hope that Jesus is our healer and he can bring healing into our life. For Paul, he prayed over and over. This is Paul, who we talked about earlier, follower of Jesus, prayed that God would remove that issue that he had in his body. But God said, no. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. But he prayed until he heard the definitive no. And in this life, Paul would not see relief from that particular issue that he had. But what we need to realize and what we need to hold on to as hope too is that our God is a God who is for healing. He is for wholeness. He is not someone who just kind of sits up there in heaven and kind of looks down and goes, oh, gee, too bad you're suffering. He longs for us to be whole and experience his healing touch. And we know that because of what he is ultimately going to do. And these are words from Revelation chapter 21, talking about when Christ returns. And the vision that John was having of what this all looked like. He said, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. His kingdom is fully present among humanity. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. God is for healing. He is for wholeness. He is not for sickness. He is not for death and for pain. He is for healing. And the final word God will give is that I am making everything new. So what do we do with it? What do you do with this today? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give an opportunity to practice this. And next week, we are going to have here at church a prayer and healing service where we want to invite everyone to come and receive prayer. You don't have to. We're not going to force you and come to your seat to pray for you. But we want to give an invitation for every single person to receive prayer for healing. Now, you may say, I don't need prayer for healing. Here's the thing. We believe that Jesus is our wholeness for every part of life. Not just physical body, but mind, soul, spirit, the whole deal. And I can tell you right now that there is none of you sitting here today, including me, who has received yet the fullness of the life that is there for us, that's living with the full wholeness that God would have for us. None of us. There is something in you that has not been made perfect yet. We all have need of Jesus. Every single one of us. And so we're going to invite every single one of us to come for prayer. you will all be welcome to come and receive prayer for healing. This past week, I was taking time for sacred space with Ryan. We were hanging out here at the church and just spending some time listening for God. And the thing I really felt God saying to me was, trust me, take me at my word. What if we chose to actually believe God and take him at his word and trust enough to come and ask that he would touch our body, our mind, our spirit, and bring us to a greater place of wholeness than what we're experiencing now? Why wouldn't we want that? So next week, we will invite you to come and receive prayer that God would touch you and heal you. And I hope that, I hope and pray that you'll be willing to come and see what God would want to do for you. Let's take a moment and pray, and then we'll take a few minutes in response this morning. God, thank you that you are for healing and wholeness, and that the pain we experience in this world because of the fallenness, because of sin, this isn't what you want for us. Which is why you sent Jesus to take all of our pain and our sorrow upon himself and in its place give us life. May we believe you that you want and desire that healing for us, for me, for each one of us. Lord, help us as we reach out to you, as we ask you to not give up. Lord, to continue to come back and ask in faith, trust in you. We thank you, Lord, that you care enough about us to even provide healing for our physical bodies, for our mental and emotional challenges, for our spirit. Lord, all of it you care about. You care about all of who we are. May we receive that blessing from you. So, Lord, we just want to give you this time of response to you and pray that even as we sing out these songs, even as we think about what we've been talking about today, what we've heard from you, Lord, that you would stir in our hearts and give us confidence and trust in who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. In Jesus' name.